Samuel Beckett wrote a play entitled Waiting for God. And it's a satire on the human condition. And as Beckett sees it, humanity is waiting for God to come and save them, but he never shows up. They're waiting in vain, although they've been told repeatedly that God is coming, but he never has and he never will. And these characters in this play are told to wait for God, for he might come tomorrow, he might come today. And so they continue to wait in their dreary existence. The only prop in this play is a dead tree. And the implication in this play is that there is no God and there is no Savior. And life, according to Beckett and his fellow existentialists, is that life is absurd. There's no ultimate meaning to existence. And so we have to create our own meaning without artificial props like a belief in God. And the characters in this play are pathetic individuals. They contemplate suicide many times and can't even find the emotional energy to carry out the suicide. So for people like Samuel Beckett, all this talk about waiting in hope is foolishness. And Beckett wants people to give up on waiting for God. But in his play, he never offers anything to replace this except for despair. So some of the people in the play become apathetic as the wait goes on. Some lose their faith. Some become bitter. Some become angry and hostile towards God. But you know, in reality, that's nothing new. The Apostle Peter wrote this in 1 Peter. Writing to the people of God, he says this: first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forgot that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. There will always be those who believe that it is futile to wait for God. But they deliberately forget that God has already come. He came in the Garden of Eden. He came to Noah when he called Noah to build an ark. He came to Mount Sinai. He came in the person of Jesus and he will come again. And as a matter of fact, that God comes to us many times throughout our lives. If our hearts are open and receptive to receiving God, he comes to us. And there are many who give in to this doubt and despair. And they grow weary waiting for God. Some even give in to cynicism. So I want to talk to you this morning about how do we wait for God? And the first thing we have to do is we have to wait patiently. You know, the hardest part of waiting is the waiting. Waiting involves time. And we don't know when the waiting will be over. You know, if we could wait a minute or two, that'd be one thing, but it often involves a great deal of time. You know, we live in a culture of convenience, a culture of instant gratification, and we've all lost the art of waiting. There are people in many countries, like Russia and many other countries, that wait in lines for an hour or more just to get a loaf of bread. And in places like war-torn Afghanistan, they may wait for weeks just to get that bread. But we in this country are irritated if the line at McDonald's isn't moving fast enough to suit us. Patience is a spiritual quality, and God wants us to develop patience. We're often irritated if something doesn't happen immediately and we lose hope. But hope is essential for life. And the book of Romans says it this way. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait patiently. God is creating his life within each one of us. And we must wait for it to come to full term. It's very possible to fail in our waiting. And when we do, sometimes we get ahead of God. We wait, and nothing seems to happen. So we panic, and we start to work things out on our own. Waiting is an art, and timing is everything. In Jesus' day, there were those who grew tired of waiting for a Messiah to come, and they decided to take matters in their own hands. And this was a small group known as the Zealots. They'd heard the promise of God and that he was coming to deliver Israel from the grip of their enemies, but they grew impatient. And occasionally, from time to time, a leader would arise. And everyone would pin their hopes on this leader, and he would usually gain a small following, and he would form what was in those days considered a terrorist group, and then they would be crushed by the Roman army. And there were even zealots among Jesus' disciples. Simon the Zealot was one of his disciples, and he probably had a hope that Jesus was going to be that political Messiah whose purpose would be to establish an independent kingdom of Israel. But nothing could have been further from the larger purpose of Jesus. And there were some, and still are some, that believe this was the problem with Judas. His line of reasoning was that he didn't see things happening quickly enough and thought he could force Jesus' hand by turning him into the authorities. In his mind, Jesus would then be forced to confront the Roman authorities and display his messianic power. And the revolt would begin in earnest. But this kind of abrupt action is far from being a part of God's plan. So we can't get ahead of God. We have to wait patiently. And the second way we have to wait is we have to wait expectantly. God's busy bringing about his full plan for the world and for us. And in his perfect timing, he will birth that plan. And I suppose that an expectant mother would sometimes think, is this baby ever going to come? Especially if she's past her due date. But all you got to do is look at that mother, and you know that it's impossible for that baby not to come. And when Jesus was delivered into the world was enlarged by its waiting. And the Bible says, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman. Before it was time, the birth of Jesus would have been premature. But when the time came, nothing could hold him back. So waiting doesn't mean that we're just sitting there doing nothing. We have to be waiting and looking for God to fulfill his promise. And you have to believe that he's going to do that. It's impossible to get ahead of God when we try to work out, it is very possible to get ahead of God when we try to work out things for ourselves. But it's also possible that we could miss what God's doing because we're just sitting and waiting without expecting God to really come through. And the final way that we are to wait for God is we are to wait faithfully. To be faithful means to be full of faith. Faith that completely trusts and depends on God. It's an active faith, not a passive faith. It's a faith that delights in doing the Master's will. It is love that results in action. And it's a faith that keeps doing the right thing, even when the waiting becomes long. And the passage that follows the scripture we just read carries that same message. And I want to read part of that to you. And in this parable, Jesus says this, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour that he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. Waiting in faithful obedience is essential to our walk with God. The Bible says this, the race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong. The race is to those who have learned to endure. They wait with patience. They wait expectantly. They live in faithfulness to God, whether their faithfulness seems to be noticed and rewarded or not. I want to close with the words of God, words from Isaiah that says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Amen.